Thank you, Lord. All right, back into the Song of Solomon and the bride's journey in the Song of Solomon. And right there at the get-go, we were there. Verse 2 of chapter 1, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. He sets the whole table of everything what this is about. It's about love. It's about understanding that he's in love with us. And then understanding more and more about that wonderful love that he has that will never part from us. And then growing in love that we are loved by one, the I Am, that is in love with us. Now, I want you to think about this before we move on. Who is she talking to? I want you to think about that. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Well, you can say, well, the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. That's true. But it's even closer than that. This is us. This is us. This is the heart, brothers and sisters, that was given to us of God. This is what he gave. This is what he before ordained. This is what he knew would be produced in you. Oh, yes. This wasn't an if. God, he foreknew. And whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. So we know that this was all there, and we know it's all in us because of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. But this was in us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This was before everything. Before everything. Before time, before light, before anything ever created. This was first. Everything else was created for that. Us. This is what he put in us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And our journey, brothers and sisters, our journey is the bride, is to really know who we are in Christ, what we will be, what we will be, and truly who we are, but what we will be that God knew and purposed in us all along. See, he said, I'll perform, I'll accomplish in that thing that I sent it. Praise God, you little thing. And it's going to come forth because he's God. And he doesn't lie. And let me tell you something, he's well able. But this is what the Bible tells us. And the Bible tells us, did you know he gave you his heart. And in that was the new heart. He also says in the Word of God, he gave you a new spirit. But then, praise the Lord, because of who we are in Christ, to us he gave even more through the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Ghost and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, what he gave you was passion. He gave you this passion. He gave you the passion, praise the Lord. I want us to truly understand, this is the Song of Songs to Solomon. Yes, this is, in a sense, Solomon's song, but this is our song to our king. This is our song to our bridegroom. And it is the Song of Songs, and it begins with the first verse that we've sing right to him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is what love shed abroad is. Amen? That's what it is. We become sick of love. Love sick. We become delirious. We become as he is. And it becomes a love shed abroad for one thing, and that's to win Christ Jesus our bridegroom. Now, so again, who is she talking to? Well, in a way, she's talking to herself. Yeah, that's the truth. And you know what? We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord continually. We need to allow that new man to truly speak. Praise God. Don't you love to, and we've talked about it before. I know that I am always surprised where and what Christ in me, the hope of glory, as it grows. I'm shocked because I know I'm not that man, but I am that man. And it's the two, it's the two natures. And you sit there and you begin to really admire and thank God of this new man that you are, this whole new life and this new heart that he shows and he brings forth in such wonder and glory of what he has done and put in you. It's amazing. I mean, it is amazing. It's a transformation. And you become bold in it as it's fed. And as you grow up in it, my goodness. And then you grow up in it, and then it's, you know it's yours. You know that's who you are in Christ. And it's, my goodness, I've been this all along. Isn't that glorious? It's true. The lily didn't toil. It's true in that microscopic seed that we know is that giant sequoia tree, okay? It's all there. You'd say there's no way that the tiniest of seed could be the biggest of plant or tree or whatever you want to call it. But it is. And that's what it becomes, because that's the only thing it's going to become. It's not going to become an aspen tree. It's not going to become a small shrub. It's not. It's going to be the giant. Praise God, kings. Praise God, kings. Hallelujah. Now, we need this encouragement continually. We need the encouragement from within. And this encouragement is a boldness to surrender. When you let somebody kiss you with the kisses of his mouth, you're surrendering. You're giving yourself over to that. And it's to your benefit. I won't get too much, but there's nobody that'll kiss you like Jesus. And you know it. There is nobody. You talk about getting your breath taken away. This is the one who does it. But this is a requirement that we need, this surrendering constantly, if we're truly going to continue to run the race to win him. The depths of bridal love needs to be allowed to flow continually and always for this passion and endurance necessary for us to remain in first love. See, it does. It needs to be kindled constantly. And I thank the Lord. How is it kindled? Here we gather tonight. This is why the much the more as we see that day approaching. I know we're individuals, but we're one in Christ. This is a body. Amen? And I thank God that this is a body that's going to come out from the body. and I thank the Lord. You talk about bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. This is the encouragement to win Christ Jesus as our bridegroom. Now you see the result of this. You receive it. The result is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. The bride is in love with him. She's in love. Oh yes, she is. It's, as sister said, it's personal. And it's beyond personal. It's intimate. It's everything. She worships and adores him. She worships and adores him. She worships and adores his love. So here's what transpires now from this. And really, brothers and sisters, I mean, everything's a highlight in here. But the Lord's encouraging me, we're going to highlight things in here. But some of these things take a lot of time. So we'll move to verse 3. So here's how it goes. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, we're going to break that down here pretty detailed tonight. What she's admitting here, brothers and sisters, is it's thy name, thy name, thy name. Don't you love the name of Jesus? You know, I thank the Lord, it's everything to us. Everything. Oftentimes, the very first thing out of our mouth, our hearts, is calling out the name Jesus. And oftentimes, when we're in trouble, fear, hurt, need help, something, what has happened, it's Jesus. Jesus. And his name is the high tower that we run into and are safe. We know that his name, he's the shield and buckler. He's everything. But she agrees with the Father about his Son. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is more beautiful than anything, isn't it? His name, as the Word of God says, is above any other name that's ever been given. All power is given in that name and to his name. There is no other name whereby you must be saved. There's only one way we go to that throne, and that is in the name of Jesus. You ask everything in that name. There is no other name. It's all been given in that name. Now, that's how wonderful his name is. And here's how wonderful his name is to us, brothers and sisters, this precious bride. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Now, let's go into this even a little bit more. She admits nothing can compare. There's no joy or pleasure that could ever satisfy her, but it's this intimate love. And she's saying here, your name is my ointment. Your name is the sweet savior. Your name is the aroma of my being. Now, where this comes from, brothers and sisters, and I'll tell you, this doesn't mess around here in chapter 1. At the very end, and even before we get to the very end, the beams of our house. Well, let's go to 16. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. They're married. It's okay. Yes, they are. That proposal has happened. Praise the Lord. Our proposal has happened. We have said, I do. Yes. And I don't know how many ways, shapes, and forms we can really understand this. The wife hath made herself ready. What is she? She's a wife. Amen? Why was the church of Ephesus, why were they chastened so severely in one little phrase? I have one thing against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. That word left means divorced. Well, let me explain something to you. You need to be married before you get divorced. It's there. Praise the Lord. It is there. What's waiting in heaven is known as the marriage supper. Sometimes in the Word of God, the word marriage is just used there, but go in there and read the definition of the word, and you'll understand and see it's the marriage supper. And this follows completely, perfectly, all of the Jewish customs from ancient tradition. Tammy knows this as well too, and obviously being around wonderful people and understanding their traditions. But that marriage happened the moment that dad went out with his son to the village and said, who will take my son in marriage? It was different. It was a flip. Usually it was they're bringing out, we think, well, they're bringing out the women, and that, no, you brought out the man. And that one would say, I'll take him. I'll take him. Amen. At that moment, the wedding contract was brought out. They signed it. It was done, finished. They're married, contractually. But there had to be preparing that would go on. The groom would go away to prepare. As Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Right. But I'm coming. And where I'm at, you're going to be with me. And so beautifully, as we see that custom and all of that, the custom was that that groom would come back, the bridegroom would come back and take her, usually at some time in the night, because there was something light and fun about coming to take her, and especially at night. He would come with his friends. They would come all together, and then he would call to her. And it was even a custom as well, too, that she would even sleep with her clothes on to be ready. Praise the Lord. So all of these things, and we've talked about this before, but don't let this be something that you're kind of wondering about. No, this is, let me tell you something. When you're off to say, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, when you're, you know, ending it up here, talking about your bed with him, you get it. You get it. And it's wonderful. And there's nothing wrong with this. Because this is the Lord expressing to our hearts the most intimate love that we could ever have. This is what he's giving to us to understand. But brothers and sisters, when we got a body like unto his own, then we'll even really understand. Praise be to God, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness to us. It's going to be glorious, praise God. And it already is. But see, we thank the Lord here because as it says, and as I was going into, the custom was that lovers would anoint their bodies with these oils. They would. Before they would come together, they would take the ointment and they would put that upon them. They didn't necessarily have the greatest plumbing and showers and things of that nature. They just did. And that's how a lot of times they did this. But they would put on these ointments and different things of that nature to smell lovely with one another before they came together. And this was it. And praise God, the Lord is getting to this. Is that what his name is to you? Does his name just anoint you with a thrill? Does your life become the alabaster box that breaks out your ointment upon him? This is the intimacy that's coming here. I mentioned it before, and I'm so thankful to God. I remember it wasn't too long after the Lord took my dad to be with him. There was my mother sitting at the table, and she just was rubbing her hand over this letter over and over and over, and I was stepping back from her, and I come over and said, "Mama, what are you doing?" And she was just like this, you know, just over and over on there. And I looked, and I kind of put my hand on her hand. I said, "Mama, what are you doing?" And she looked up at me, and she says, "I love his name." And what she was doing was she was rubbing her hand on the letterhead of my dad and her, Mr. and Mrs. John Odorcio. She said, "I love his name." See, that's her husband. It was her husband. And then, you know, and I know she appreciates in a sense, and I'm not trying to embarrass her. She'd always tell me how she just so loved the smell of my dad. And I have to tell you, I can remember how my pop smelled, and it was good. But to her, see, when you take the name, you're taking the name of the husband. And that's the truth. This is all about the marriage from the start, brothers and sisters. And let me tell you something. I counsel lots of young people. You want your marriage right at the start. You don't want to ramp into it. You're married. You're not going to be any more married than you are married right at the beginning. It's the truth. Now, you'll grow in this marriage. You sure will. You're going to grow a lot, or you're not going to stay married. And that's the truth. There's a growth in it. But it's the way that you set these things up. It's the honoring. It's the love. It's the adoring. That's why you get married. You can't help it. No matter what it is, you have to leave that home to join with that one. That's the transformation of it. That was just like, I'm sure that they were shocked. They didn't even understand that. Rebecca, you've been here for years with us. You're a sweet young woman. We get along. You love us. We love you. This guy was here. You haven't even spoken to him for an hour. And you've already come in here and said, "I'm out of here. I'm going to marry that man." That's what love does. And that's how powerful love is. And when that love will hit you, and I'm looking at many of these ones, but I'm thinking about Alex coming in here. I'm not trying to shine you, brother. But it hit you, didn't it? It hit you. It hit you. And when that love hits you, it hits you. And you go. And you might have been sitting in here a long time. I told you, that love hit me when I was 17, and it hit me in that parking lot. And it hit me. And I knew it. And the Lord opened my heart to receive it at that moment. Here I am today. Now, Acts 15:14, we were there on Sunday, weren't we? What did it say there, huh? He's so good to us. We see these things. Simeon, Peter hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. To take out of them a people for his name. This is where we're at. Thank the Lord. And at the first, again, I'm going to emphasize that word first. It means first rank. First rank. He's coming to, again, this is the age, the time of the Gentiles. It is. And as we know, and I'm thankful a lot of you have Scofield Bibles. Go look at the bottom note that he has there in Ephesians 3 where it says that the Gentiles should now be fellow heirs. All right? Even Scofield recognized that the Gentiles now could be saved wasn't anything new. That wasn't the mystery. That wasn't. The Gentiles could come to the Lord back in the Old Testament, and they did. They were the absolute line and lineage of Jesus. Ruth, praise God, a Moabitess, huh? Right there. And isn't it interesting? I was thinking how sweet that is, because back then, Ruth, when she married Boaz, she was no longer, in a sense, a Gentile. She became a Jew. She was a line of Jew all the way through, because that was the line of Jesus. Jesus, the King of the Jews. But here we are on the other side of that. And I'll tell you what, isn't that glorious? You come to the Lord, and if you're Jewish, and you know what? We have a man, his name's Arthur. Yep. And Arthur will tell you, well, he was born Jewish and all that. But he's saved. He's no longer a Jew. He's not. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. Huh? So what is this for his name? It's for a wife. This is what this is for. This is the name. This is taking the name of the husband. This loving this name, brothers and sisters, is everything to the bride. To the bride, it's everything. The bride in the Philadelphia church, praise God. And I want you to turn over there, because we're going to spend a little bit of time there tonight, and we'll end over in there. But the Philadelphia church is the one of the seven that is spared from the tribulation. The Philadelphia church is the one that says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. It's the church that speaks of the crown. It's the church that speaks that they have the crown now. They have it because they have this wedlock. They have this marriage proposal that they said, I do. They have it. That's the crown. These are the ones, praise God, that it says that, well, I'll get to that here in a minute. So many wonderful things. But where this is going is Revelation 3:8. Thou hast not denied my name. Thou hast not denied thy name. Let's read that together. It says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Isn't that glorious? See, that was just like the open door that was there for Elijah. God opened that. Just like the door that was there for Enoch. He was not, boom, God opens it. He can open that, shut it, doesn't matter to him. But I'm going to tell you, before the Philadelphia church, it's open. Oh, it's open, praise be to God. We know it's open, hallelujah. No man can shut. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, amen, praise God. And listen to that, and hast not denied my name. It's a really interesting. Kept my word. I can understand that in a passion in my heart of a love of the word of God. The hold fast that crown, that bridal message crown. Amen? But then it goes on, the very last thing. And has not denied my name. Now what's he getting at here? And the bridegroom. It's the husband. Amen. I'm not leaving my first love. I'm not going back and taking another name. By the grace of God, I'm not going to have any other loves. Hallelujah. This is it. She did not reject the first love. We were betrothed at the well. I took your name, and by the grace of God, I didn't give it up for any other loves. It's love, isn't it? See, it's love. See, a lot of couples out here have been married a long time. You weren't perfect all the time, were you, Linda? Were you, Dwayne? Were you, Tammy? Were you, John? All right, John. You'll pay for that later, brother. But you love. You might get mad as a hornet, but you love. You just can't help it. You just love. Now, there's even more about this name, because it's going to go a little bit deeper, because it's going to get real specific, because this name is her glory. Go on down to verse 10 of Revelation 3. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That means I'm going to keep you from the tribulation. Isn't that wonderful? You do not need to go out there and buy a generator. You don't have to have a bunch of food in your basement. Now, if you want it, that's fine. I like mine fresh. It's the truth. I'm not storing up anything to be here 1 minute longer. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. And what do you have? The crown. The crown, you have it. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. Now let's count how many names here. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Whoa! I counted three. Three names right there. All because thou hast not denied my name. You ever really think about this with this Church of Philadelphia? It's about that name. It's about him. Him. Does Jesus light you up? Does he light you up? Huh? Is he the light of the suns? Oh, yes, he is. And I'm talking the S-U-N's. The sun glory. You know it. So the first name we read there, huh? It says, I will write upon him the name of my God. The name of my God. Well, we heard Jesus on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Referring to the Father. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Now are we the sons of God. Oh, yes. Jesus, referring to his Father, we have that name. I was thinking of this as well. The Lord was touching my heart with it, just like I was born of Nancy and John Odorcio. Nancy and John Odorcio. I am an Odorcio. But more so, forever. Let's go on over to 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believed that Jesus is the Christ, are you here? You believe that Jesus is the Christ? All right. Is born of God. Praise the Lord. You're born of God. Isn't that wonderful? And you know that. And everyone that loves him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Very simple, very beautiful and wonderful. So we're born of God. I am of God. That's what that says, because I believe in his son. Hallelujah. Now, go down to verses 18 and 19. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know that we are of God. So we're born of God and we are of God. Isn't that wonderful? And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Praise God. Born of God and of God. The I am. I am. I am of the I am. I am of God. Isn't that glorious? I'm thankful. Just like naturally speaking, I'm an Odorsio. Spiritually, praise God, I am and I am spiritually. I'm not God. I understand that. You aren't either, but we're of him. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. And so much of him, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're one in him and him in us. Amen? John 17. Turn over there. John chapter 17. What's it say there in verse 21? Let's begin reading there. This is Jesus speaking to the Father. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Isn't that beautiful? So we're one in him. Now let's keep reading there. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them. We got his glory. That why? That they may be one even as we are one. He had to give us his glory so we could have this oneness, not only with him, but with one another. Think about the glory that he has given us. How wonderful is the oneness that we have. Huh? Tightly fit, compacted. That kind of oneness. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, complete, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. How marvelous. How marvelous. All about love. All proving his love. All showing his love. And once again, it's all him. Praise the Lord. Now, that's just the first name. Let's go on and look back at that second name. We're almost done. So going back to Revelation 3, verse 12. So I will write upon him the name of my God. We got that one. And the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love this. This is just so exciting. This is us. So this second name, the city of my God, only Philadelphia. Isn't that something? Only to Philadelphia are we talking like this. Now we understand the Smyrna saints will fit into this too. They're the ones that have passed on before. And those are the dead in Christ that shall rise first. That company that will be of the bride. Praise God. And we'll meet up in the air. But again, this is focusing on them that are alive and remain. This is this precious group, the Philadelphia saints, and I'm believing God we got them here tonight. Hallelujah. Because this is what he gives us to rejoice in. And I'll tell you what, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. So the only way you could believe this is by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to have this faith, this most holy faith, you must be hearing this mystery gospel of the bride for the Lamb of God. And that's what that produces. Praise the Lord. Because this is what the Bible tells us. Now, the city New Jerusalem, double peace. Let's read about this name. Going over to Revelation chapter 21. So here's what's written on you, honey. Here you are. This is your name. Revelation 21. Let's read from verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Isn't that the name of you? That's that second name. New Jerusalem coming down from God, my God sent, right? We read that, out of heaven, what? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And again, this is the church of Philadelphia that has this specifically said to them that you see is descending from heaven, and that's the one that's got the name. None of them others have that name, but she does, and that's that name. And who is she? She's the bride adorned for her husband. Praise God. Now jump over to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So here we are again talking about the bride for the husband. And what happens here? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we know that's New Jerusalem again. What? And here she is, that one with the name New Jerusalem, having the glory of God. And we just read in John that they would have, I gave them my glory. I gave them my glory. Because that's the glory that's going to be revealed. That's the glory that's going to come down from heaven. Hallelujah. That's her. She's got the glory. She's that. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone. That's the light. Praise God. That only is the one. It's Jesus. So we thank the Lord. This is what that name represents. This is that name that she's taken. There is the bride, praise God, for the Lamb of God. She has all the riches of glory right now. Right now. She's ready, praise God, the readied wife right now. Now, why can we say that? Keep your hand right there in Revelation 3 because we're going to come back and finish it. But praise the Lord that we see this. This is why you have that crown glory right now. And it's in Romans 9, verse 23. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. It's just always been. This is just the manifestation of it. Just like the Son of God was manifested for us. Amen. That lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, because of the foreknowledge of God and the predestination of God, this is guaranteed. Yes, guaranteed. Guaranteed by the blood of Jesus. Because that blood finished it. Finished it. Finished. Finished. Praise God. You got to read verse 24. Even as whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. How glorious. Now let's get to the last one. We'll get this quick. It gets real personal. And this is what's so beautiful about it. So we see, I'm going to write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. This gets personal now. This is it. This is the vessel only for his use. This is the name, praise God, that's a new name. And see, isn't this beautiful? Because does this remind you of Romans 8:19? Just turn back there and you'll see what I'm saying. Because, see, in 8:19, we're talking there about joint heirs together with Jesus Christ. I should say 17, I apologize. It says, and if children, then heirs of God, right? Heirs of God, my God, Father God, all right? But then it changes. and joint heirs with who? With Christ. And that's joint heirs. That's as husband and wife. It changes there. It's just like these names, the name of my God, the name of the city of my God. But now, it's my new name. My new name, you got now, okay? And I'm going to show my new name on you. And what is that new name? It's bridegroom. It's the bridegroom. Oh, yes. But isn't that beautiful? It's going to be new in a sense of that, but it's not new to us. No, it really isn't. We do know this. We know, praise God, that this is ours. That wife for the Lamb of God, it's ours. And that new name, praise God, is going to be that company, the bride, his name, bridegroom, upon us. And here's why. Because he's going to make known to all, going back to Philadelphia, I'm going to make known to all that I have loved thee. Huh? That I'm in love with you, all right? I'm going to have them come and worship before thy feet. This is only Philadelphia talk here, honeys. This is it, all right? And then where that has to happen and occur could only be one place where we're talking about worship. It's got to be his throne. And if it's before his feet, I got to be standing right there with him and you too. So we know where we're standing, right there with him. And it's all because of this name, because we're his wife. And I'll finish off by tonight on 2 Corinthians 11:2. And I think, I know that the Holy Ghost has given us this in such reality, and especially the more tonight. That's 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. That's you. And the virgins love him. Hallelujah. Let's stand, be dismissed.